Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us on the podcast series Between the Covers. I'm Kelly Wilson. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of chatting with a well-versed Aussie author, Jack Roney. How are you doing today, Jack?
Excellent, Kelly. Thanks for making the time to speak to me.
I'm really happy to be here today. I'm quite intrigued to hear your story, Jack, because looking at your bio, you've done lots of writing, but you haven't stuck just to one genre. Is that correct?
Yeah, so my background is I'm a recently retired police officer after nearly 34 years as a police officer, and I was a detective for over 14 years. And I had all these stories. Yeah, thank you. It's been very liberating to finally, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, but I decided that my time with the police was done, and it's time to explore what's out there for me.
Love
in life.
It.
So I started writing crime fiction as a way to kind of purge all the stuff I was carrying around because of my experiences, particularly as a child protection detective. But over those years, I came across a number of quite certainly. Yes, situations where there was a lot of impact on families and I probably didn't realize how much of an impact that it had on me until later on. And retrospectively, I'd look back and started wondering, why did I start writing? And I think I started writing because I felt, and some people write a diary, whereas for me, I use crime fiction as a way of kind of expressing the way I was feeling. And I think there was a quote by Neil Gaiman who says, "Fiction is the lie that tells the most truth." So I was able to use fiction, as a way to express the way I was feeling about the real world under the guise of fiction. Mm. And so I started writing crime fiction, and I've written three books in a series. But then more recently during COVID, I had this idea of this new book, and it's now become a historical mystery with a twist of time travel, which has now become this new book of mine called The Ghost Train and the Scarlet Moon, which is far different from the first series that I'd written. So it's a major jump.
It is major, and I'd like to tap into that for a moment. The Ghost Train and the Scarlet Moon, that is your latest. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's all about?
So effectively it's a historical mystery. I've been touting it as there's the movie Stand By Me. It's based on a Stephen King novel.
Love
it's a real
that
classic.
Movie. Yep.
You know, it's a coming-of-age story, three boys off an adventure. And my book's similar. It's based, starts off in 1982, which is kind of the era that I grew up in, and these boys are on an adventure, and one boy mysteriously vanishes. And it's this mystery is 35 years later, it's still a mystery as to where this boy has gone. And one of the friends discovers that there's a connection between a fatal train crash that happened in 1947 and its linkage to a really rare blood moon, and that the two events coincided this time slip. And so it's one of those, it's kind of a mix between Stand By Me and, say, The Butterfly Effect. It's that story of what would happen if you can go back and change your own past and how it affects your future. So there's kind of a loop, and the whole story goes – so it starts in 1982, then it jumps ahead to 2017, jumps to 2052, but then it goes back to the beginning, but the story has changed because of the loop, the time travel kind of concept. But it's also based on a factual train crash that happened not far from where I live. In 1947, there was the Camp Mountain train disaster where 16 people died, and that was what inspired this whole story about this train crash.
Oh, Jack, you are a clever man, and you've hooked me in straight away. As some of the listeners will know, I'm a writer too, and I'm trying desperately at the moment to do a timeline that goes all the way from 1902 to 2017 and develop characters through that. So it must have been awfully hard for you then to go present day, past in this. Would you call it a sci-fi?
No, I'd call it a historical mystery. It's not really a sci-fi, even though there is an element of time travel. That kind of doesn't become revealed until kind of later. So it's more about For me, the challenge was writing in two different voices. So it's been narrated by the same character. Toby McIntyre is the main character.
Yep.
He was one of the three friends, and one friend goes missing in 1982. And then, strangely, his other friend in present day also goes missing on the anniversary of the date of their friend going missing 35 years later. So Ooh. Two of his friends have vanished on the anniversary on the same date, 35 years apart. So he's left trying to unravel the mystery of how his two friends have disappeared.
Yes.
So
yes.
For me, the challenge was to write the story in his voice as a 12-year-old.
Yep.
And then when the story jumps ahead 35 years later, mm-hmm. telling the story as a man in his early 50s.
Oh, I love that. That's really unique, Jack.
And then you've got to tell the story in the future when he's an elderly man. So you can hear wow. the voice of the same character as a 12-year-old, as a middle-aged man, then as an yep. elderly man, and then it jumps back to when he's a 12-year-old. So Whoa. Telling the story through the same character with a different voice was the main challenge.
Wow, that is so thought-provoking. You're a clever man. How did you work on your characters? Like, how did you develop them and decide on Toby would be the one?
It was interesting. I had feedback initially that my main character was a bit of a cardboard cutout, and they said, oh, you need to okay. breathe a bit of life. What's Toby got to lose? And that was the way I really fleshed out who he was. What has he got to lose by, you know, what's at stake for him?
Nice.
Whereas initially
yep.
the feedback was in one of my early drafts was there wasn't enough at stake for him. So I had to ramp things up and really make it more dire, you know, what the situation, in fact, the fact that he was coping with stress and trauma and guilt around the disappearance of his two friends. He had committed to trying to unravel the mystery, and he had a lot at stake personally as well. So
yeah,
by doing
wow.
so and by increasing his relationships with other characters, it really brought him out. So that was the best advice that I was given is if you feel you want to breathe more life in your main character, what is right. it that they have to lose? And once I'd worked that out, I was able to then breathe a lot more character into him.
That is awesome advice. I'm going to take that on board myself. Thank you, Jack. So what were your inspirations for this book, The Ghost Train and the Scarlet Moon? Because, you know, you must have had completely different inspirations to your prior crime thriller books.
Yeah, as I said, my crime writing was inspired by my own personal experiences. It was my way of kind of venting how I was feeling about my job as a police detective.
Yes.
Whereas this one was really refreshing to write something that wasn't about policing. I was being completely creative and kind of, but really.
But I can see the tie-in though, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had to do a lot of historical research as well, so I kind of still use my investigative skills with that. I've basically written a fictional story based around a factual event. So I had to get the
Love
facts
it.
Right about this actual factual event.
That's what I do
and
too.
The scene of the train crash is not far from where I live, and there's a really nice bushwalk and cycle track out near Samford. And there is a plaque on the side of the road where the train crash occurred. And it kind of occurred to me that it's become lost to history. There's houses, people are driving past, not really noticing.
On
this bend of a road is where this train lost control, derailed, and 16 people and countless others were seriously injured back in 1947. And with progress and development, what was a rural train line, which has since been ripped up and doesn't exist anymore, the whole story's kind of been lost.
Yeah.
So I was really intrigued by that story of the train crash and then this concept of how it coincides with this blood moon and this mystery of a disappearance and telling this kind of story that unravels beyond just the train crash. And it just kind of and I just felt I had to write it. This idea kicked into my head and I had to write it before I lost the idea. And I just kind of that's why I wrote it so quickly because it just kind of blossomed.
It was there.
So quickly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you did. And I'm pretty sure right around the world people will be too, Jack. So tell us a little bit about earlier in your writing journey. You know, I'm looking at your bio here and you've done a lot as well as your career. You've done a lot in writing. Can you share a little bit about your first series, the Detective Jared O'Connor series, with us as well?
Yeah, so with that, as I said, I wrote the first book. I didn't do much with it for a number of years and then I came back a number of years and breathed fresh life into it. Then I felt that there was more. Jared O'Connor, the detective, had more to say and there was potentially more stories. So then I ended up writing a sequel. And then when I wrote the sequel, I thought, this is really cool. And I came up with even more ideas and his character really started to come to life.
Yes.
And then I came up with this idea of book three. You know, his life really goes off track and talking about, you know, what has a main character got to lose?
Yeah.
And he really goes off track and it gets quite dark in book three. But when you read all three books in succession, there is an
you
overall
understand.
Thread.
Yeah.
It was an overall story. And book three kind of links back to book one. So for me, it was an evolution. Writing
Nice way to articulate it.
I was lucky to have been shortlisted in a writing competition, the Wattpad Awards, and that kind of gave me some validation that I was on the right track. And,
yeah.
And then it wasn't until I entered my manuscript for my new book, The Ghost Train and the Scarlet Moon, into the Hawkeye Publishing Manuscript Development Award, and I was shortlisted, and then I came second. And as a result, a publishing deal came out of that. I've really started to kick on, and sort of the momentum has really kicked on from there.
Excellent. And I'm sure your readers will agree. So at the moment, if readers and listeners were intrigued about, I know they can easily get The Ghost Train and The Scarlet Moon, what's available in your series for them to be able to purchase now?
So book one is the only one that's published at the moment. So it's available through all the usual online stores. So it's available both in paperback through my Jack Rainey website, and it's also on Amazon and other online stores and ebook. The audiobook has been produced and will be launched next year. And, of course, The Ghost Train and the Scarlet Moon is available through Hawkeye Publishing directly from them. It's available around Australia and internationally, and also the ebook is available as well. So book two and book three are in the editing process and hopefully due for release next year.
Well, that's fantastic, because, I mean, you can give your readers a taster in both and then, you know, move on. And you were talking to me earlier and you were keen to finish this detective series as well as, you know, you have The Ghost Train and The Scarlet Moon out there to start and embark on a new project. What on earth could be coming next, Jack?
Yeah, that's a real good question. I'm toying with the idea of, is there scope for a book three in my crime series? I actually have an idea for an actual true crime book, but that I need to kind of flesh that out a little bit more. I don't know whether that will transpire yet. But if I'm going to continue in the fiction world, whether I do something similar to The Ghost Train, I really like that kind of coming of age type story adventure. I like the idea of telling parallel stories. I read a book recently where there was, you know, there's parallel stories. So chapter, you know, every odd chapter is in the past, and then every even chapter is the present, and then the two stories converge.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
I really like that. I like that idea, and kind of The Ghost Train is a little bit like that, where the story kind of culminates. Mm. But I'm thinking that's where I'd like to head. That sort of historical adventure type story, mystery. I like the idea.
I love that. I'm with you on that. They're harder to write, I think, but I love writing them. And as you said, you do it a bit differently because you use the same character at different stages of that character's life. So that's really interesting. I haven't thought about doing it that way. So what does the writing process look like for you, Jack? We're all different. Some of us are planners. Some of us just go for it. What does it look like for you when you're embarking on a new novel?
I'm a planner. I'm fairly structured. I will do an overall plan, and I pretty much know what's going to be contained within each chapter. I know where the story is going. I'm definitely not a pantser. I need to have some level of structure and
plan.
Because, you know, I guess because we've got so many levels.
You have to be organized.
Your plot and subplots need to make sense, and they need to merge at some point. So I find for me, planning, if I know, okay, this is what this scene is going to be about, and then I move on. At least I can just write it, and then I can look at my plan and, okay, what's the next scene going to be about? Because I've already put a bit of thought into that.
Yes.
But for me, it's about writing when the bug is you know, when the juices are flowing. When I had the idea for The Ghost Train and The Scarlet Moon, I just had to write, and I had to write quickly because I was fearful that I was going to lose the idea.
Yeah.
And it was just so vibrant in my mind.
So powerful, isn't it?
And I end up banging out an 80,000-word manuscript balancing a little laptop on my knees, commuting to the city every day during a time when it was really busy. I was working through COVID as a police officer. I had to work, but I still managed to find time to write. So it was at a time when I was probably the busiest I've been in a long time, but I still managed to write.
Yeah, that's how passionate you were.
You can definitely procrastinate if you've got time on your hands, because you think, I've got plenty of time. Now I can do it. Whereas when you're busy and you only give yourself a small amount of time, you are far more productive.
Yes.
So I was able to write that manuscript in 3 months because I was just so focused, and I just had to get the story out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I actually can't wait to read it. That's amazing. And at the moment, are you writing every day?
At the moment, no. Well, I've just come back from a holiday.
Yes, you have.
sort of bits and bobs going on. I've been a bit distracted lately. So
readers, he's just been to the Maldives, so I'm trying to like him.
Yeah, so I'm still coming back from a bit of jet lag. I've only been back for 2 days. But my main writing project is rewriting book three of my series.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I can fine-tune all my current works so that by the end of next year I've got all my four books out, my three-book series, and off the back of the Ghost Train. And then I can start thinking about what's to come after that. But I'll get my four books in the can first and focus on the marketing and launches of those products, and then I can start planning what's to come.
What's next? I hope you are stopping in enough time to breathe and realise how successful you are. I mean, it's a big feat to have, you know, as many books out and about in circulation or just about, Jack. So you've done a pretty awesome job there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, everyone's idea of success are different things. I look at, you know, Australian authors like Chris Hemmer and Jane Harper and Trent Dalton and Craig Silvey and all these really, I follow Australian authors and I kind of use them as my benchmark. And I guess we look at them as that's the standard of true success, you know, to have your books in airports and, you know, in bookstores all around Australia and all over the world and have films, you know, based on your books. I mean, I think for other people, that's the really pie in the sky kind of dream. But for others and for most of us, we're realistic about the fact that being an author is a real grind, that you have to be prepared to self-market and promote. And, you know, you're not going to get millions of sales first up. You just got to keep chipping away. Mm. And I think if your goals are realistic, you're not going to be disappointed. And I think for most people, the main goal is to have your book published. And if you get people come back saying, I loved your book, that's success.
And Jack, that's really awesome words of wisdom to listeners. And I agree with that. And I think personally too, and you've used writing in your journey to help you to move on from your career or express some of the things that happened to you in your career. And we all do that, you know, with a creative outlet. Writing is such a healing, magnificent thing to do. So that in itself to me is success as well, if you are able to get your words down and in some form or way inspire or encourage others. That's success as well. So
exactly.
Well, Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. I look forward to watching your journey going forward, and as Jack mentioned, listeners, you can get his books online. They're at all good bookstores and I'm assuming libraries all around the world, Jack. So I wish you every success and keep writing.
Thanks, Kelly. I really appreciate the time today and same to you as a fellow author. keep writing.
We got to support each other, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Take care, Jack.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.